this week's thrilling episode of Cold September, excerpts from Scenes from the Barbershop Floor, Volume 1. These are taken from episodes written in May 2020, at the height of the first great lockdown. "Do you think anything will happen?" asked Keanu. Late morning, he was still standing at the window, although he'd cut the hair of a customer, young Pendleton, the newly unemployed face pimper, in the interim. "How do you mean that?" asked Barney. He was cutting the hair of old man Maguire, who, truth be told, hadn't really needed a haircut. Igor, meanwhile, was doing a touch of sweeping up, in case he'd missed anything the last time he'd swept up. "We just stand here, day after day. It's like a black-and-white tragic movie you find on Netflix, and it lasts 90 minutes, and literally nothing happens. There are lots of slow shots of black-and-white hills, and people sitting around in black and white drinking coffee while sitting outside a small cafe in a wee town on the border with Iran, and you keep thinking, now something's going to happen. And it never does." "I saw that film," said Maguire. He paused. They waited for it. Then it came. "It was shite." "You know Tajikistan doesn't have a border with Iran, right?" said Barney. "Ah," said Keanu, nodding. "That's why I didn't understand what was going on. It was Turkmenistan, not Tajikistan." "Probably. Explains everything. Pretty exciting movie in that context." He turned. He and Barney shared a smile. "Suppose we should look in the bright side," said Keanu after the moment when Barney had thought he might be able to enjoy the silence. "Consider all the artists and singers and movie people and writers. What are they doing right now? They're literally stuck inside, forced to create art, whether they like it or not. There's nothing else to do. At the end of this, if we're not all dead, there's going to be this extraordinarily creative outpouring. It'll be like La Belle Epoque multiplied by the mid-60s Beatles." "Ugh," muttered Igor from the back of the shop, head shaking. "No, I've not been reading the Telegraph. Look, at this very minute, someone somewhere is writing the next Star Wars. Someone else is painting the next Heywayne. We should get in there while the opportunities are rife. We could bring something like that to Millport, you know, like a small art gallery or a major film studio." He smiled at his own suggestion, then turned away to look back across the white promenade wall out to sea. Away to the south, there was a suspicion of cloud, but it would come to nothing. The day was set fair. "See if I see any more of that modern art," said Maguire, and he shook his head. "Lizzie made me go and see something a couple of weeks ago over by," Maguire rambled on, pointing vaguely west, though it wasn't entirely clear whether he meant the other side of town. Butte, Arran, the Mull of Kintyre, Islay or Newfoundland. Some Swiss artist. Jesus, the neck of that guy. All sorts of shite, but there were pictures made with lollipop sticks and cotton wool. Kind of stuff if a primary one kid did to give him a slap for wasting the material. There are sorts of names like Scrofulous, Cupboard in the Key of Melancholy. Load of pish. "I've got a plan for that," said Barney, to the sound of Keanu laughing, as he laid down the scissors, brushed the back of Maguire's neck and lifted the small white razor to use around the periphery of the cut. "Can't wait," said Maguire, grudgingly. "It's called the Decapitated Head of John the Baptist Test." "If some guy makes art with lollipop sticks, you get to cut his head off?" asked Maguire, hopefully, and for a second it looked like he might smile. "Don't think we get away with that, Frank," said Barney, enjoying the look of derision on his face. "Ach, go on then." Keanu and Igor looked round, neither of them having heard of the Decapitated Head of John the Baptist Test, Igor leaning contemplatively on his broom. Before an artist can publicly display something a child could do, they have to prove they have actual artistic ability. To do this, they have to paint the decapitated head of John the Baptist. Keanu and Igor gave it a moment's thought before nodding to themselves in agreement. "What if they can't paint the decapitated head of John the Baptist," said Maguire, "but can paint the decapitated head of Charles I or Mary Queen of Scots?" Barney stopped for the moment, giving him something of a raised eyebrow. If they could do one, why wouldn't they be able to do the other? Maybe John the Baptist had a particular feature the artist struggles with. No one knows what he looked like, said Barney. You can make him look like, I don't know, a transvestite Dominic Raab. It doesn't matter. It's just, you know, it's being able to prove you can paint a guy's head. Skin texture. Dead look in the eyes. Bits of bloody neck skin. Sometimes I talk too much, thought Barney. Maguire didn't look happy, albeit he never looked happy. Then he muttered, bastard had a beard, not that much, and left it at that. I like it, said Keanu, nodding, turning away again to address the day outside. The decapitated head of John the Baptist's test. Maybe we could think of some other situations to which it could be applied. Such as, asked Igor, still leaning pensively in his broom, although it only came out as arf. Keanu looked out at the wash of the waves and the scuttle of the gulls. I don't know. Does it fit in a platter, for example? Does what fit in a platter? Asked Maguire. The thing you're testing, said Keanu. And that was more or less all the explanation anyone was going to get. Barney finished the razor work. He brushed off the back of Maguire's neck and shoulders, and then he produced the handheld mirror and showed Maguire the finished article. Maguire studied the mirror for a few moments, then said, "That wasn't what I asked for. A beat," and he added, "Suppose it'll do. No luck I'm getting a shag tonight anyway." "I wonder sometimes," said Barney's customer, "do they no understand the concept of irony? Or do they just, and I'm trying to be kind to you, do they just have a different definition of what irony is?" Mid-morning, Barney was giving Tom Badger a coronal ejection, a haircut that traditionally doesn't involve any cutting. "I think that's a little too generous," said Barney, as he prosaically went through the motions of all the curling tongs work. "I don't know," said Badger. "Maybe they just think anything related to bad luck is ironic. It's simplistic, but if that's how they define it..." He shrugged. He looked at Barney in the mirror. He wasn't getting a lot of buy-in on the conversation, however. Barney was rarely of a mind to speak to customers these days. He usually became cranky with them very quickly, and recognised at least that it was bad for business. There are few in the world of men who enjoy being shouted at by their barber, particularly when the barber has a reputation and a pair of scissors in his hands. "Think about the first time Steve Martin meets Daryl Hannah and Roxanne," said Keanu, looking over from his cut when he was giving young Baird a Ryan Kent. "Right," said Badger, nodding. Then he mansplained it as though they were performing the scene for a TV audience. "Steve Martin's downright sarcastic. She says he's being ironic, and he basically acts like, he is being ironic." "Yep," said Keanu. "But he was being sarcastic." "Yep," said Keanu. "And when Shatner says his iconic irony can be pretty ironic, sometimes lying in Airplane 2, the situation he's referring to isn't ironic. It's just a thing that's happening." Badger was nodding along, so Barney paused the delicate hair curler work for a few moments. Nevertheless, he was quite happy that responsibility for the conversation had been passed. For the moment, it looked as though it would die out, as each of the men considered the North American inability to grasp the concept of irony in the privacy of their own heads, when Keanu's customer suddenly went against all the conventions of the barber shop by inserting himself in another customer's conversation. "See, the most egregiously erroneous misuse of irony you'll find is in an episode of Scooby-Doo," he said. And Keanu, always happy to talk about Scooby and the gang, and rarely getting much purchase on that front from Igor or Barney, lifted the scissors and nodded. "Go on." "So the gang are in a small boat," said the Ryan Kent, "getting chased across San Francisco Bay by some great white sharks. They think they've escaped. And Velma says something like, 'Thank fuck for that, by the way.' And then a shark comes up and bites off the back of the boat. And then she stands there with her hands on her hips, Velma, may I remind you, who's supposed to be the intelligent one, and says, 'Irony, my old friend, we meet again.'" He paused. He looked at them knowingly, then added, "No, you fucking don't, Velma, because that's not ironic. And some friend you turned out to be, we don't even know what it looks like." He held Keanu's eyes in the mirror and Keanu nodded, not really sure where to go with that. "Am I right?" said Ryan Kent. "Don't remember that particular episode," said Keanu, "but sounds like you're spot on. I mean, I always fancied Velma. She's smart. She's, you know, kind of funny in her geeky pedantry. She always wears those tight orange jumpers. She's got great wee tits. She'd be a brilliant shag, you can tell. All these smart birds," and he tapped the side of his head, "they've read books. They know how to shag. I'd half her over Daphne any day. Daphne can fuck off, by the way, but Velma, imagine taking her over the back of a sofa." The words drifted away and he stared at himself in the mirror, although his look wasn't focused. He was off somewhere, and his own magnificent imagination, picturing themselves with Velma in a romantic sofa situation. Barney gave Keanu a look, the familiar, "That's what you get when you encourage them." And Keanu smiled ruefully. A moment, then just as he was about to restart the cut, the Ryan Kent caught his eye in the mirror, lifted his eyebrows and said, "What about you? Which cartoon character would you shag?" There was one customer then, and Keanu had taken advantage of Barney wandering along the road to get a donut top-up by turning on the radio to get the latest virus updates. Igor was busying himself, taking inventory of all the cutthroat razors. There were only two cutthroat razors in the shop. As the headlines were read out, Keanu slowed the snip of the scissors. He was giving Tommy Three Boss his regulation red card soonest, so that he and Three Boss could pay attention. "Boffins confirm Gove, not human," said the newsreader after the beeps of 3 o'clock had passed. In other news, surging global stock markets as governments promise rich fuckers will still be rich when all this is over. Trump admits he's a moronic, incompetent asshole, says it's Biden's fault. A ventilator for every home, promises Johnson, in today's blatant lie. Scientists move doomsday clock from 1 minute to midnight to 3:15 in the morning, concede that literally everyone on Earth, now fucked. Meanwhile, former lead singer of REM, Michael Stipe, says he feels fine. Keanu turned off the radio, although he stopped short of reinstating the slow choral music that Barney usually played these days, then returned to the managed chaos of the SNES cut. Quiet in the shop, the still silence of these strange times. Keanu going through the motions of a haircut that no one had asked for since the early 90s. Three Boss staring harshly back at his own face, lost in whatever thoughts someone who was happy to be known as Three Boss would have. Outside, the day continued as days had done in Millport since the town's heyday as a Byzantine outpost in the 7th century. Gulls whirled and dived. Waves argued out in the bay before being dashed in the rocks. Cloud flitted across the sky. The sea eagles swooped out of the sun to pounce on cats and other small mammals. "Fucking hemorrhoids are killing me, by the way," said Three Boss suddenly. Keanu paused. He and Three Boss stared at each other in the mirror. Keanu was a polite chap, usually happy to engage in whatever conversation his customer cared to enter into. Some customers, however, brought too much information to the party. "That's too bad," said Keanu. "You think?" said Three Boss, seemingly annoyed that Keanu hadn't had anything more useful to say in the matter. Unsure where to go next, Keanu was saved by the door opening and Barney entering carrying a large paper bag. Making a quick assessment of the situation, Barney recognised he'd walked in on an awkward conversational moment for which Keanu required rescuing. So he raised the bag and said, "Donut, Mr. Boss!" And Three Boss briefly escaped his almost permanent state of annoyed discomfort and nodded. "Coffee frosted?" "There's a selection," said Barney. "Coffee frosted is one of them." "I'll have a coffee frosted, please," said Three Boss. "Cup of tea?" At that, Igor emerged from the back room carrying a tray with four mugs of tea, as ever attuned to the world around him in a way that no man could properly understand. And so, soon enough, they were sitting round with cups of tea and donuts, eating and drinking in silence, Three Boss' haircut suspended for the duration, no one in any rush. This was life for some in the brave new world. Everything slowed down. The lucky ones. Most things unchanged. No financial dark clouds in the horizon, just the giant enchilada of existence conducted at a more leisurely pace. The clock on the wall above the customer's bench barely seemed to be moving. There was no sound from outside as he sat in companionable silence with their donuts. Not a car drove by, not a pedestrian passed in the street. The donuts seemed to last forever, helped partly by the men having two each. The mugs of tea seemed to refill themselves. Eventually the hands of the clock stopped turning altogether. The silence was absolute. The apotheosis of nothingness in the new world had been reached. The door burst open. Old man Maguire looking around frantically. The clock started ticking again. "Can I come in?" said Maguire. He'd passed the window at a blur, walking quickly and was now a little breathless. "Need to take the test first," said Barney. Keanu and Three Boss had straightened up. Igor had already pulled on a mask and was approaching Maguire with the COVID insta-test to see if his entry to the shop could be authorised. Barney looked unhappy at the sudden termination of the tranquility. Igor administered the test. A quick swab from inside of the cheek, inserting the testing stick in the vial of bright red fluid, waiting to see if the fluid would change to a virulent green, indicating the presence of COVID-19. Then when 10 seconds had passed and the fluid not changed colour, Igor grudgingly admitted Maguire to the shop, and he entered quickly, closing the door dramatically behind him. "There's been a murder," said Maguire, now that he'd been admitted to the fold. Keanu and Three Boss perked up even more, excited at last that something had happened in their one-horse town, where the horse wasn't being allowed out the stable. Barney and Igor shared a sceptical glance as Igor trudged to the rear of the shop to dispose of the Insta-test.
Who?
Asked Keanu. I'm no sure, said Maguire. Word's getting spewed around town like a badger that's had too many sherries.
Barney gave Maguire something of a rueful eyebrow.
That doesn't make sense, Frank, he said.
What?
A hungover badger isn't like words getting spewed around. The badger would be doing the spewing. For that sentence to work, you'd have to completely reword it, though admittedly that would make it much less punchy.
Maguire stared at Barney, his eyes a little wild.
There's been a murder, son. This is no time for pedantry.
Virtually everyone in this country is monolingual. The least we can expect is for people to use the language correctly.
There's been a murder, son. Someone's dead.
That transcends perfect use of simile. Go on then, said Barney. What's the rumour?
There was a body found out by the rocks around Farland Point. The police aren't sure if it was washed up in a storm or whether it was dumped there last night. A hideous sight, they say. Face mangled beyond recognition. Some are saying it's cannibalism.
Fuck me,
said Three Boys, banging to the narrative.
We haven't had a storm in weeks, said Barney.
They're also talking that maybe there's been some kind of satanic ritual performed in the corpse, said Maguire, ignoring the inconvenient storm detail. The heart cut out, cooked to a crisp while it was still beating. Weird, diabolical symbols carved into the victim's skin and demonic paraphernalia rammed up his arse.
Three Boys winced. Sounds grim, said Keanu, although he'd spent enough time with Barney now to begin to share his innate suspicion. Another guy says he heard from one of his mates who spoke to a guy who'd overheard someone say they'd heard a rumour that the body was, like, cut up into 50 different pieces and spread all along the rocks in Kames Bay. Maguire looked sternly at Barney, his face contorted with fear and drama.
Right this minute, the carcass is being feasted upon by giant genetically modified gulls. It's end times, tell you that for nothing.
Barney downed the last of his endless mug of tea, thinking that truly, as George noted, all things must pass, then got to his feet, walked to the window and looked out the west side of the bay, beckoning Maguire to come and stand beside him. To the left, the promenade ran along the front of the town, round the bend in the road, on towards Newton Beach. Beyond the small bay, with the little rocky island outcrops in the middle, lay Kames Bay, not so far away. The sky was blue, the streets deserted, the sea continued to glint in the afternoon sun, occasionally the white tip of a wave making a forlorn break for freedom.
Frank, said Barney, you can literally see the rocks in Kames Bay from here.
We can see Farland Point. Can we see any sign of an enhanced police presence?
Maguire grumbled darkly and shook his head.
They probably meant Fintry Bay, he said.
People are bored, Frank, said Barney. They're making stuff up. It was bad enough before the world went into lockdown, but now you can't believe anything you hear or read. The folk that made shit up before have even more time to do it now. The free rein and a captive audience. So no, you can't cure COVID-19 by drinking the urine of a snake. Hillary Clinton did not marry Lenin's corpse in a secret ceremony last year, and no one's been murdered in Millport. Believe nothing, Frank. Question everything. That way the human race may survive, though it's doubtful.
Maguire stared darkly at Barney, knowing and hating he was right.
Maybe I'll go and murder some bastard myself, he said. I'll liven things up around here.
Or, said Barney, you could have a cup of tea and a donut and accept the fact that literally nothing is going to happen around here for some time to come. What's it to be?
Maguire looked extremely unhappy, although, of course, old man Maguire always looked extremely unhappy.
Then, as if by magic, Igor appeared with a cup of tea, set it down on the small table by the customer's bench beside the plate with the remaining donuts, and Maguire muttered a dark thank you and took a seat.
Suppose this'll do, he said.
A moment, the drama was over, and then the Three Boys sighed heavily, looked in the mirror at his suspended red card soon as cut, and said, suppose you finish this off and I should get home.
Aye, said Keanu, laying down his mug and lifting the scissors.
What you got lined up this afternoon?
Fuck all, said Three Boys.
Probably just stick on Pornhub and have a...
Aye, all right, said Barney. I think we've had enough talking here for one day.
Almost thought something was going to happen there for the minute, said Keanu, as the three men of the Millport barbershop stood at the window, the closed sign in the door looking out upon the sea, drinking a last cup of tea at the end of the day.
You mean old man Maguire and his absurd dead body in the rocks story? Said Barney.
Aye. You know he makes stuff up, said Barney.
Suppose. Barney gave him a look and he nodded briefly. It's like newspapers, said Keanu, isn't it? We all know they're full of shit, but they print a headline like Megan and anal sex vid shame as Harry bangs Maggie Smith, and we're like, holy shit, didn't see that coming. That's about the size of it. That old quote about how wars start, said Barney. How do wars start? Diplomats tell lies to journalists and believe what they read in the papers. Something like that. Ha, who said that? Some guy, said Barney. Aff, muttered Igor, and Barney nodded. Exactly, he said. And so, as the sun continued its slow descent out west, and the shadows began to lengthen upon the land, another day in the Millport barbershop drew to a sluggish end, while the world burned, and the future of nations hung by the most slender of threads.